If you would, turn in your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 2. I just wanted to encourage if there is anyone that has or is wanting to go into the new members class and has not yet done that. We've actually started that back up, and there is a reason why we have that. We actually, I think, put it down not as new members class, but orientation class. We're wanting to orientate you and hopefully let you know what the church is about, as well as talk about certain doctrines that we believe, but most of all, welcome you into the family. In Ephesians chapter 2, Paul is talking to the church at Ephesus. As he writes to this church, he is welcoming them in to a place that had not yet at one time been readily accessible to them, and that is the household of God. He says this in chapter 2 in verse 11. Therefore remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by so-called circumcision, which is performed by the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That didn't sound too good, does it? But now in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall, that he might, verse 16, reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross by having put to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. Now watch verse 19. So then, conclusive statement. You're no longer strangers and aliens, but your fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household. You become a part of a family. And that's really, as we've talked about this often, that's really why we use the name Family Bible Church, because you become a part of the family of God, a spiritual house, as Peter will call it in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. Now, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 23, the writer will declare that there is a general assembly and church. And we know that those who are enrolled in heaven, as the text says, which talks about the general assembly, the church of God, in which someday we'll see all of us. It'll be great to all be together. And yet Hebrews in chapter 10 and verse 25 makes this particular declaration. Do not forsake your own assemblage, which is telling us that there is the church clearly universal in the sense that someday those who are enrolled in the kingdom of God, who have received Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior, we will see all of our family members. And yet God has called us to be a part of a local assemblage. The question might be, well, why does he want me to be a part of a local assemblage? Well, probably the best answer would be found in Romans chapter 12. And if you turn there with me, we'll look at that specifically. Romans chapter 12. Paul is urging you, by the mercies of God. That's a good way to be urged, isn't it? When you recognize that God has been merciful to you, that really is a strong impetus to do the right thing because of his mercy. And it should be the thing that, you know, ignites your desire rather than guilt or anything else. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say to every man among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. And since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let each exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith, if service, according to his servant, or he who teaches in his teaching, he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives his liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who sows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cleave to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Well, it sounds like you have a lot to do. And God is equipping you for the work of the service, for the building up of the body of Christ. Ephesians chapter 4. So we encourage you to become a part of family and get to work. Well, Father, we come before you today and we give you thanks for the opportunity, the privilege to be a part of this family. We were once strangers. We were once aliens. We were once not a part of this commonwealth. We were excluded from the marvelous treasures and benefits of being a family member, but not anymore. We've become a part of the household of God, and we have become a part of the local assemblage in which we now declare we are devoted to this body and exercise those gifts that you have placed within us that we might build up one another, strengthen one another, until we all come to the point of the fullness of the maturity of Jesus Christ. I give you thanks for this privilege. In Jesus' name, amen.